You know, Paulie, we're always apologizing to Kipe. We're like, sorry you have to do the game the morning after a
Well,
brutal loss.
maybe not today though, buddy. Today we're
Not
gonna be a little more
today,
upbeat
baby.
today.
Yeah, that was a fun one too, because the Padres, with all their swagger and their newfound fame, well, the Scrappy Giants had a little word for them, didn't
See?
they?
See?
Dwayne on the Uma guest line, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Morning, Kipe.
Well, good morning, fellas. And you're right. Knowing that I had the show this morning, I thought Tommy Pham's ball was going to go out.
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
sure is.
I know.
I was watching. I went way past my bedtime, and I saw that thing. I was like, "Oh, he got it." Nope, he didn't.
No, he didn't. I thought Pham's ball had a better chance of going out just by looking at the swing than Yastrzemski's.
Right, that's a good call.
Yastrzemski must have just clipped his perfect. And you know he can do that. I mean, he's got an incredible knack of just, you know, maybe not getting everything into a swing, but yet clipping it just right, and it carries. He gets in a tremendous amount of carry for not really a big guy. Fan's a big guy. Other than the fact that a game like that where the final score was 3-2 shouldn't take that long to play.
No.
And that's not a complaint. That's just an observation.
No, you're absolutely right, Kipe. You're absolutely right.
I'm more than willing to sit at that park for hours on end to do a baseball game with my partner. But that game, you know, 3-2 games shouldn't take that long.
No.
Because we're not talking about a lot of rallies. Three solo home runs.
Yep.
So the idea that this three pitch or three hitter rule for relievers is speeding up the game, I don't see it.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I don't have a problem with the rule. I do think that rule affected the very first game of the year for the Giants.
Yeah.
Because the Giants had a couple of relievers that couldn't throw strikes, and they couldn't get them out. They couldn't
Right.
get them out of the game. So I thought that rule affected the opener. But overall, I don't really have that big of a problem with it. So,
Well,
anyway, but it was a fun game.
I totally agree with you on everything you're saying. It was great to see the game. It was a fun game to win. Love having you guys on the broadcast. And at the same time, 3 hours and 35 minutes is just too long. It's like there's just certain things in life that need a pace. I compare it to golf. When you're playing golf, I'm not looking to leave the golf course immediately, but I'm looking to play at a nice pace. You know what I mean? It's just everything in life. It's like our show. It's going to be over in 4 hours, but do we want to do a segment where we're talking like this? You know,
Gotta
we got
have
to have a
pace.
pace in life. You know
Gotta
what I
have
mean?
pace. Gotta
So,
have a rhythm. Yeah.
and the game
Yeah.
was, I mean, I'm delighted the Giants won, but it just, we in a year, Dwayne, in which they're doing such a big movement towards trying to shorten the game, you're just watching games right in front of your eyes that are not doing it.
Yeah, you know, a lot of strikeouts. There was a game last week. I think it was the Twins Brewers. 30 strikeouts. 30.
Whoa.
I mean,
Jeez.
you only have so many outs in a game, right?
Yeah.
And 30 of those outs, the ball was not put in play. So I think Major League Baseball knows that that's a problem, but I don't think they know how to fix it. And I think they're thinking about how they can try to fix it. But a lot of, you know, swing and a miss. I mean, there's a lot of it. And pitchers are really good, though. They throw hard. Hitters just aren't making adjustments. Or maybe they don't care to. But anyway, I don't want this to be a
No, no, no.
complaining show,
I hear you. So let's get on
because
to the
it was a
win.
really, really good win last night. It
Yeah.
really
So
was.
it's only four games, but should we start thinking of these? Remember, we were sort of joking earlier in the show. Bruce Bochy used to say, "You got to keep the line moving. Keep the line." Well, no, you don't. You just go up and hit a home run, right? So, I mean, do you think we're seeing this team? This is what Farhan has built. This is a home run. This is going to be one of the top home run clubs in baseball this year.
I don't know, Murph. I do think that if you're serious about trying to get to postseason, and you know they are, they're going to have to figure out how to score runs without hitting home runs. You know, you start putting some people on base and start getting some hits with people on base. You're not going to survive the season by hitting solo home runs. It's very helpful to get on the scoreboard really quick, like, you know, Ruff did, and then Longoria, and then a pinch hit home run, no less. So I do believe this club is going to hit a lot of home runs, but they also have to figure out how to get that guy in from second with some clutch hitting and get that guy in from third with less than two outs like Belt didn't do last night. You know, those are big opportunities that you know, you got to try to get that guy in. That's what Belt did earlier on. I'm not singling him out, but that's just an example of how you got to get those guys in and just not rely on the home run. But home runs are fun. They're fun for all of us.
Hey, just a little inside the game last night. Austin Slater was on second. Don Solano singled to right center. I was quite surprised Slater didn't score on that. That's when Slater got stranded by Belt. Did you guys have a read on that one?
I think, you know, only because we don't have the TV shots that we would normally have from our crew. We never got a really good shot of what Slater did at second base. And clearly he read it that there was a chance that Will Myers was going to catch it. And if you really feel that way, then you can't take any chances. But I was a little bit surprised that he read it the way he did. And, you know, we had a lot of people have a better angle at that than he does, especially if you're sitting up high. I was a little bit surprised. I mean, because he runs really well. But I guess he just did not want to take any chances. And then when Belt did not get him in from third, you know, then it becomes a little bit of an issue. And I also thought that, you know, Dubon and Slater took a couple of weird routes on balls. They didn't play a clean defensive game.
Right, they really didn't.
Mm-hmm. But the bullpen and Discofani really pitched through a lot of traffic. And for a bullpen that collapsed in the opener, boy, have they ever come through and done a great job since then.
I was going to say, Kipe, I did the tallying here. Since that meltdown on opening night, 10 innings pitched, only two runs allowed.
Nice.
Like they changed the narrative in a hurry.
Yep.
Right, and one of those runs was the base hit that Whistler gave up that opened up the door for them to score that one run, I think, the run that tied the game in the fifth or probably the sixth inning. So even at that, I think their numbers are just a shade better than the one run. But they're, you know, Rogers was terrific. I mean, I think everybody likes the way McGee goes about his business in the ninth inning. I mean, that was a little Brian Wilson-like last night.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom, you get the first two outs, and now all of a sudden you get the winning run in first base. Yeah. Come on. You're driving us nuts here.
right.
But you know, he pulled it off, just like Wilson used to pull it off. So I'm sure that they felt pretty good about that win, especially after getting shut out on Sunday or on Saturday, because, you know, they know that they have a good offense, but yet here they got shut down on Saturday. Then, you know, get on a plane, you know, spend an off day, Easter in San Diego, thinking about the three games against this really good Padre team. And, you know, you forget that it's not just their offense and their, you know, you got these guys running around, and Tatis and Machado, blah, 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 blah. Their starting rotation is pretty doggone good. You know, tonight you get Darvish. Tomorrow you get Snell. This Musgrove kid from Pittsburgh is really good. Morejon last night, you know, the young Cuban kid, he's going to be really good. So it's not just about offense and guys running around that are playing exciting baseball. They got a really good rotation, and the Giants are going to have to match it and hit a couple of home runs and see if you can steal two games. And then if you can do that, you're 3-3 on this road trip after a disaster on Thursday, and it was a disaster.
No, I'm totally with you. Winning this series, too, I thought would be a nice shot across the bow to the Padres a little bit, you know, and go down to San Diego and get it. So all you get is one of the next two, and you have Gausman go on Wednesday. Who knows what to expect from Aaron Sanchez tonight. Boy, I think they got to be happy with DeSclafani's opener, huh? Yeah. Disco DeSclafani out of Freehold, New Jersey.
You know, he looks like maybe the – and I'm not talking about his stuff, but he looks like – the Kevin Gausman of last year, where just a complete transformation, and all of a sudden now you got a guy that looks like he belongs out there, and he's pounding the strike zone. And I really think, and I cannot overemphasize this, the difference it makes to have Buster behind the plate.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I don't know about you, but I'm watching people on base, and I'm watching McGee, you know, put himself in that situation, and there's one calming influence
right
on that field, and it's Buster Posey. You know, he doesn't show a lot of emotion. He gets crossed up, but he doesn't let any of that affect him. He's worried about that guy out of the mound and how he's going to attack that guy in the batter's box, and I appreciate him more now than I ever have.
Nice.
Because of the fact that he didn't play last year.
He's just, I totally agree. Watching him back there is just fantastic. And he's so quiet and knowledgeable, and he's making a difference right in front of our eyes, man. Good stuff. So Giants get the win last night, if you missed it. 3-2 on three solo homers with a Tyler Rogers eighth inning and a Jake McGee ninth inning. And the Padres get knocked back for a little step there. They go back at it tonight 7-10 with Aaron Sanchez against Yu Darvish. Speaking of Tyler Rogers, Kipe, we're enjoying his, you know, he's just messing with hitters with the 69-mile-an-hour submarine stuff, but we got to get those white cleats off him, those white spikes.
You
got to
like
get rid of him, Kipe. Huh?
No. No, I noticed it the other day because Mike and I talked about how he was trying to outdo his brother in Minnesota by winning the shoes battle, right? Because if you're a twin, you know that you've got personal battles with that guy. So I'd like to see what kind of shoes his brother's wearing and then see if it's a little bit of competition. I'll tell you, off the subject, I'll tell you who else who had a nice clean inning. And, you know, we don't worry about him, but we know his velocity is not where it was, and that's Maranta. You know, Maranta was, as you guys know, 97, you know, just bringing it. And then he has the Tommy John, and now he's, you know, he hits 95. Now, there's not that much of a difference, but, you know, 97 and 95, there can be. And he had, I think, three ground balls in that seventh inning. So so it was a nice outing for Reyes Maranta, and I think that uptick in velocity will probably still get there the more he goes out there. Hey, look, they only have three right-handers in the bullpen. You know, we have such a hard time finding out who's coming in from the bullpen because we're not there. And and Mike's right. Well, if it's not Maranta, you know, then, you know, it's either Whistler or Rogers. And Maranta's built a lot different than those other two. So when we get that all-nine shot, where it's just a shot of the whole field, and we can see somebody coming in from the bullpen. It looks like a little ant, right? But if it's not Maranta, then, you know, and you know how Maranta looks, then it's pretty easy to figure out if it's either Whistler or Rogers by the shoes.
Yeah.
Or if it's a huge, bulky.
By the shoes. You got a beacon of white that's come flopping out of the bullpen.
See,
I know that it's Rogers.
It's actually helping Kipe, Murph. See,
but Will Clark wouldn't wear those.
Let me ask you something.
You know what I mean?
Does that mean there is some point in your life that you never wore white shoes?
So my junior year in baseball at high school, we had to wear them, and I hated them. Hated them. I said, "What am I? Who am I?" I said, "Who am I? Tony Armas?"
Huh? I'm talking about dances.
Nice.
Prom,
nice.
Yeah. You never flopped out the white shoes?
Man, Kipe, maybe your high school prom, you might have been wearing the white Bucks. I don't know, but that was not us.
I had white Bucks. I can remember the white shoes I wore in Reno when I played in 1972.
Wow.
You know, 72 in Reno, maybe that fits, you know?
Yeah, maybe the 70s was the white shoes. Because isn't that when you started wearing them when they came from Kansas City?
I think so, yeah.
And, you know, look, the Aces were the only team for a long time.
Yeah.
A long time. And then all of a sudden now, you know, you can wear what you want. I mean, I'm convinced Major League Baseball will let you wear slippers out there. I am.
Yeah.
Because you remember, Brian Wilson got fined.
Yes.
For having too much orange in his pair of black shoes. And I remember he had to go into the dugout with a Sharpie and Sharpie out some of the orange. Now, it doesn't seem to matter. It really doesn't.
No.
Did you see Bryce Harper wear those Philly Fanatic 3D shoes on opening day?
Those are crazy.
I did not, but I'm surprised now with what the shoemakers can do.
The Fanatic, anyway, it was like the Fanatic was like a Jack in the Box coming out of the shoe. It was like
it was pretty
like
wild.
Mini, like 3D Fanatic.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, you can get so wrapped up into what your shoes look like, what your batting gloves look like, you know, what your bats look like. Mike and I did a whole segment the other day on gloves. I can't remember who the pitcher was. I think it was somebody with the A's who trotted out there. And growing up on the farm, there's green, and then there's green of a John Deere tractor.
Mm-hmm.
And this glove was John Deere tractor.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about that. That was great. That was great. Yeah.
So, I mean, gloves are even now something that that you know players can get involved in. But you almost have to be careful that you're not so involved in that stuff that you forget what you have to do on the field.
The green of the John Deere tracker. Yeah. Hey, by the way, here's one before we let you go. This is, and I heard Willard say this in the car, and it was a good point. That was the first game in almost 2 years the Giants played without a designated hitter.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And, you know, look, as far as managing it, I mean, Dave managed, you know, those 2 years in Philadelphia, so. He's pretty familiar with it. And my response to managing without the DH is if you sign up to be a manager and that's what you love to do, then you want to manage in the National League because you want to manage a game without the DH because that's where you can make your moves and that's where people can notice what you're doing. There's any doubt, there's no argument.
Right.
It's a lot easier to manage in the American League. I mean, Tony La Russa has said that a number of times, that he really enjoyed the challenge of the National League. Now, you know, I'm not arguing DH to no DH. I'm just saying that managing-wise, if you want to take this job, then you want to manage in the National League. Yeah. And I think we saw a lot of it last night.
I don't think he put – I'm going through the box score, and he had straight pinch hitters for the nine-hole, Yastrzemski and La Stella, but I don't think there were any double switches, right?
There were no double switches, but I think most of the changes were straight up. In other words,
Belt came
Dickerson
in for Flores.
Batted Garuff.
Yeah, and Belt came in for Flores.
Batted Garuff, yeah, so they were off.
Yeah, but I, you know, and listen, we talked about this last year, and I did a lightly read jock blog on it. After experiencing the DH for a year, I was like, no, nobody died. You know, the world didn't come to an end. I just prefer it the other way. I like it. I like it last night. I'm sorry. I just like it.
Yeah. I totally get your point. But it's hard for me because the Giants would be a better team with the DH because they have DHs that are going to play a lot. Ruff's not going to play a lot.
Right.
Flores, you're going to try to get him in there as much as you can. I mean, look at La Stella. I mean, he started – this is a big sign in the offseason. He started one game. You know, he's probably going to start tonight, I would think, with Darvish. But I'm not a DH fan, but if it's coming next year for sure, then I have no idea why they didn't just do it this year. I mean, I kind of have an idea, but I'm a little shocked that it's not here.
Enjoy
Murph while you can.
I know. Yeah. It's disappointing. Like I said, I mean, nobody – the sun still rises. I'm not going to, you know, go on a hunger strike or anything. But I just like it. I just prefer it. It was just a – there's a rhythm to the game. There's a rhythm to the lineup. There's a sort of a shape to the game that's just – FDA just makes it kind of shapeless to me. Anyway, that's just me crying. So listen, great game, great win. Hey, non-baseball, I mean non-Giants, pardon me. Did you have an opinion on the Castellanos suspension? We talked about it earlier today. We thought that was kind of crazy that he got suspended. I don't know if you followed that at all. And
I saw one. Don't know who it was on Twitter that said they do that in the NBA on every dunk.
It's true.
It's true. Pretty, you know.
And the NBA doesn't do anything about it. I mean, it's like, all right, let's move on. So I definitely thought that that two games was a lot. Now, if you want to make a point that what he did instigated what happened afterward. And I didn't really see any punches thrown.
No.
If you want to say that, you know, okay, I get it. We'll slap him on the wrist, maybe fine him, whatever. And I know that he's appealed it, and I would be shocked if they at least don't knock a game off of the suspension.
Yeah, he had
a great quote. Did you see his quote afterward about he and Molina getting at it?
He said,
even if Molina had punched me in the face, I'd still ask for an autograph.
That's good.
Early front runner for quote of the year.
It really is.
That's a great quote.
You know?
He's funny.
It's true.
Talk about respect.
Hey,
yeah.
I know it seems like a natural place to end, but just real quick on Tatis. You guys, you know, you're not there, so you don't get any extra injury, but do you guys see anything there with that? And now he's got this left shoulder. It bothered him in spring training. It bothered him last year. Now he dislocated it.
It turns out that he's had a history, and the Padres obviously knew all of this before they signed him to that gazillion-dollar deal.
Yeah.
And I think they were just hoping that they could get through this season and maybe do something in the off season, because it flared up in spring training, and then, you know, that's not the time for it to flare up, because you've already just had 4 months off where you could do something. So the report that they get from the doctors today is going to be real important to what happens to that team. If they lose him for the year, that's a massive punch in the gut. They're still going to be really good, but he's their most exciting player, and I don't want to see him lose him just because of how important he is and how important he has become to baseball and some of our young fans. So hopefully the reports. Just not horrible news for the Padres.
Totally with you.
He's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah,
and we'll see. I mean, a lot of different opinions on when you see guys pop back their shoulder back in and they play the next day. From what I understand with this one, it's possible that a labrum could be torn. And if it's torn a lot, then you have to have surgery. So we'll see.
Well, obviously, one of the many storylines to follow. Fun win last night. Let's tighten it up a little bit, guys. Tighten it up a little bit and have another fun one tonight. So we'll be listening and watching, Kipe.
Awesome,
we'll talk to you next week. Yeah. Be good, my friend.
All right. Be healthy, guys.
Thanks, there he is. Dwayne Kuiper, Pauly. Always.
Okay. Yep.
Always. Rock solid.
We did it all. I mean, we got through it all. Tighten it up from Murph, the white shoes verdict from Kipe. I mean, we pretty much parsed through all everything in front of us today, so I feel good.
Yeah. You've said it all.
Wait, you've said, listen, you've said it all.
You're listening to the KNBR Morning Show on KNBR and KNBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader. Strong start to the Power Hour, top six, cooler content.
Yeah.
We'll have Marcus Thompson come in, talk about Kelly Blanken Oubre and Andrew Bogut, all that stuff coming up on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.